Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Can you trust a God who hurls each lightning bolt to the earth during a thunderstorm's fury? The alternative? Trusting a God who doesn't know where the lightning will hit. Today, the mystery of God's hand in nature and in each of our personal calamities. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God. Today, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on lie number 6, that God is not responsible for natural disasters.
If we could see God's eternal purposes, we would know that His plan is on a schedule. We would leave things as they are. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. All that He needs to do is to act consistently with His own nature. And as we learned in a preceding message, let us keep in mind what that professor at Notre Dame said after 30 years of lecturing. I know two things. First, there is a God, and I'm not Him. That's worth learning. No, we cannot charge God with evil. But question number 3, can we trust Him? Question 1, does he take responsibility? Yes, it says in the book of Amos, shall disaster come to a city and God hath not done it? The obvious answer is yes, of course God did it. He's God. Question number 1, do we charge Him with evil? No, we don't charge Him with evil. He does as He pleases. And by the way, we always think of the negative part of the disaster, but remember that Jesus said that God also sends rain on the just and the unjust and sunshine. Sometimes we're not very appreciative for all the times when there aren't those disasters going on. But let's go to a third question. Can we trust Him? Can we trust Him? Well, I, of course, think that it is only this kind of theology that means that God is worthy of trust. Let's suppose that it were true that God was only an interested observer of the natural disasters. You know, He kind of abandons the world and says, it's under sin, and there are faults on the earth, and, you know, let them just take their course, and I'm staying out of this. Let's suppose. Would that give you a lot of confidence in terms of your life? You know what could happen? A stray lightning bolt could smite you or me dead, and suddenly we're lying there on the sidewalk dead, and God still has work for us to do. And God says, oh, no. I can't believe this. You know, that's what happens when nature's out of control. Some of my servants, you know, they die, and next time, by the way, when I speak on whether or not God knows the future, that's going to be one of the arguments. There are many evangelicals today who say that God does not know our future decisions, and that's next time's message. I've already prepared it. I'm steaming on that one. My dear friend, listen to me very carefully. If nature is out of God's hands, then I am out of God's hands. And I'm a victim of nature. Because some earthquake somewhere, some natural calamity could smite me, and somehow I die outside of God's appointed time and purpose. No, it is the fact that God controls nature. It is that that gives me the confidence to trust Him. And if I die in such a calamity, I say I die according to God's will and God's purpose. And because of that, I die abundantly satisfied. Because God is God. Of course we trust Him. And also the shaking of the earth is a reminder of our unshakable God, isn't it? You know what earthquakes and so forth should do? As soon as the earth begins to quake, people are trying to run to someplace. They're trying to flee to something solid. Well, the Bible would teach that we should do that too, and that something solid is God. God is our refuge and strength. a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the depths of the sea. Talk about a natural disaster. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Yes, we trust God. And we trust him because he is sovereign. And that means that we are within the hollow of a sovereign hand. A fourth question. Question number one, is God in charge of natural disasters? Yes. Question number two, do we charge him with evil? No. Number three, is he still trustworthy? You'd better believe it. In fact, you had better trust him. Question number four, what are the messages of natural disasters? What's God really trying to say anyway? This past week, I learned that when that earthquake took place in Turkey, there was an altercation between a cab driver and a lady journalist. And they were both Muslims, and they were discussing as to why the earthquake happened. Now, mind you, they both agreed that Allah did it. The Muslims have a very strong view of God's sovereignty, so they both agreed that Allah did it. That was not their question. Their question was, what made him so mad that he did it? And the cab driver told the woman that it was because of women like her who refused to be veiled. That was the problem. And she thought it was because of boorish and judgmental men who walked around the gallery. Well, let's see if we can shed a little bit more light on this question of what's going on. Take your Bibles and turn to the 11th chapter, actually the 13th chapter, the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. We have an insight here that is very important for us to understand these tragedies. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Now we come to an event that could be called a natural disaster. Now maybe there was human error, maybe the tower was not built well, but it falls into that general category of accidental death. Verse 4, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Wow. First of all, let me say that it is clear that sunshine is on the righteous and the unrighteous, and so are natural calamities. The people in California are not more wicked because they have the earthquakes. The people in Turkey or Honduras, name the country, it's not because they are greater sinners than other people in the region. It's not because Kansas and Oklahoma are greater sinners that they seem to get the tornadoes. No, that's not it. And so let's keep that in mind. You see, the simple fact is that God gives these things indiscriminately. Now, let me be clear that in the Old Testament, now remember the message that I preached entitled that God is more tolerant than he used to be, and that was a lie. I said that he was not more tolerant. I explained that in the Old Testament, the judgments were immediate. You sinned and you were instantly put to death, or there was an earthquake that would swallow you up. That's not the way it is in this era, because God is dealing entirely differently. And so that's why in this era, what you find is that just because people die, that does not mean that they are greater sinners than others. Well, what are the lessons? Number one, death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. It will come. It'll happen. There was a couple that moved from California to Missouri because of the earthquakes in California, and they died in a tornado in Missouri. You can't escape it. C.S. Lewis said something that appears harsh, but it is true. He says that war does not increase death. War does not increase death. Everybody who's ever died in a war or a natural disaster would someday die because death is inevitable. You cannot escape it. When you are reading about these tragedies and 50 people killed here and 100 here and 1,000 over there, what you should be doing is seeing your own obituary, because you and I are going the same way. Not through the same calamity, but we too are on our way. We too have been born to die. Death is inevitable. Second lesson, judgment is coming. Notice Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Not in the same kind of disaster, but a calamity is going to overtake you. No question about it. And when you look at the judgments of the book of Revelation, many of them were judgments of nature. God was saying, these little events, and I call them little now because of the comparison, these earthquakes and tidal waves and tornadoes are little cameos, little insights into the total picture of what is coming, because what's coming is far worse. Just listen to this. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the great men and the rich men and the bondmen and the freemen, they hid themselves in the dens and in the caves of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? What God says is, when you read about a tornado in Kansas or an earthquake in Taiwan, be reminded there's a lot worse coming, a lot worse coming. Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. You read the rest of the book of Revelation, you find one judgment after another, one calamity of nature after another, as God judges, God judges, and God judges, and God judges. During this era, he is restrained. You know, liberal theologians sometimes say, I don't believe in a hell. I believe that all that God is pure love. Oh my goodness, where have you folks been? You don't even have to read your Bible to know better than that. You just need to read the newspaper. If God can permit the tragedies that we are reading about that are beyond our comprehension in this world, if that can be permitted, if that can be, shall I use the word, ordained, if God says, yes, I'm doing this, wow, not very hard for me to believe in hell, personally.
Solemn words from Erwin Lutzer, talking about the lie that God is not responsible for natural disasters. The sixth of 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Next time, some questions on God's role in nature. Our current series raises many deep questions about the purposes of God in the world. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.